I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, I know it's Thanksgiving and the holiday season and everything like that, but we've got so much to be thankful for every single day. I mean, just a blessing just to be able to be together. The fellowship that we had yesterday, that was wonderful. Just our church family, we don't need to take that for granted. We have something so special here. And it's not just by accident. There's a lot of work that goes into God's work. It's not just, it's a laborious work. It's not something that just happens and that you get. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And it's just amazing how God answers prayers. I'm being honest. I prayed so hard about this week, about this service, because I never know when the call will come. I don't know. I don't know when I'll get to preach or how that's going to work out, but I'm so thankful. And this morning, God just made it all okay. He works both ends. And this is something, I have preached this before, but not here. Maybe little bits and pieces of it. Sometimes I get a thought in a message and use maybe part of it when I open the service, but this is a compilation of a few different things, but it's what the Lord has really laid on my heart. And it's just amazing to think about all the things He can do and all the things that He has already done. If you will, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians. And that'd be the first chapter. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, and He will yet deliver us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just come to you this morning, God, just thanking you so much for another opportunity, Lord, to stand, Lord, and to worship you, God, and to praise you, Lord. Lord, I know that this is what you've given me and called me to do, God, and I just pray that your will be done in my life and that you would move, God. Lord, I just pray for this service this morning. God, we have so much to be thankful for, Lord. God, I'm just an unprofitable servant, God. I just pray that your will be done here this morning. Lord, you know who is lost here. Lord, you know who's in need here. Lord, you know every single heart, God. Lord, I just pray this morning that you touch and move in only the way that you can. Lord, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit come in, Lord, and that we would get ourselves out of the way, that the flesh would be out of the way, Lord, and that you'd bind the devil and keep him away from this service. God, this is all for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got the opportunity to study this out a little bit in previous weeks, and this is one of the things that we actually went through 1 Corinthians and studied that out in school, but when I kept on reading and I found this first chapter here, it really spoke to me. It really said something to me personally. You know, a lot of things happen in life that we just have no clue. we can't make sense out of it. It makes absolutely no sense to us. But you know, it's such a blessing after you go through something and you see God's already been there. It's already written down. That's one of the most amazing things I've seen in reading God's Word, is to experience something and think nobody else could have a clue what you're going through. Nobody else could have a clue anything about what's going on, and God's already been there. Amen. And it's my fault that I hadn't been there and read it. It's just such a blessing to see how He works. But here, as you look through 1 Corinthians, I'll give you a brief rundown of how this led up to 2 Corinthians. And Paul had sent Timothy to straighten things out at Corinth. But Timothy apparently was able to straighten things out there. Paul wanted to go himself, but he couldn't. His work was being undermined. Paul then sent Titus to Corinth to straighten things out. Paul met with Titus at Macedonia, where Titus had a good report of Corinth. Paul was relieved and wrote 2 Corinthians. You know, as I read this, I got a real-life vision of kind of maybe how that would be like. In studying a little bit about Timothy and Titus and how Paul's relationship was with them, I thought about us here at the church. I thought about present-day preachers. You know, I got to thinking about, what if this was Preacher Carl? He's been a pastor here. Antioch, Mountaindale. And, you know, he's went around and he's been in these different churches. But what if he got word that things were not good? And he wanted to go himself, but because of his health or what have you, he couldn't go. So he says, Timothy, I want you to go. Now you think about Timothy. He's a young preacher, zealous, excited. No doubt he wants to serve the Lord. He wants to please Paul and be a blessing to Paul. And he goes there. And when he gets there, he can't complete the task. You think about that. What if Preacher Carl had sent me somewhere like one of his churches? Say, you should go down there and straighten that out. Well, I'll try. I'll do the best I can. Yeah. See, Corinth here, you say, well, Corinth, that's a carnal church. That don't apply to us. That applies to all churches. Right. We don't need to think that we're up here. We are blessed, but we need to remember why we are blessed and not forget that. Yeah. If we start taking things for granted, we could be down here tomorrow. Yeah. I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. But, you know, I can see Timothy come back to Paul and say, brother, I tried. I am so sorry, I tried. But you know, and I got to look at that and thinking about how I would feel if I come back, or Brother Bill or Brother Bradley maybe come back and say, we tried. Preacher Carl goes to another older preacher, says, Brother Wynn, why don't you go down there? Why don't you see what you can do? You see, this is all leading up to something. Follow me here. You see, Preacher Wynn's been through a few things that some of the rest of us haven't. But he goes ahead and he sends Titus over there to Corinth, and things get straightened out, and he comes back with a good report. Right here, also, the introduction that we have, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, all the saints which are in Caia. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in verse number 3, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God, and the God of all comfort. Now let's stay right there for a minute. Are you blessed? I mean, there's a whole message right here. We could stop with this right here and go on the rest of the day, or we should be able to. Can you look back on your life and see where God has done something for you that only God could have done, that you couldn't do it yourself, man couldn't give it to you, that God Himself gave it to you? See, I think we've gotten calloused. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We just had that Thursday. Come on, come on. Let's get this on. Let's get to Christmas. I want to get my toy. We need to slow down and think about how this thing works. Amen. We're not in line with the world. We're not of the world, are we? Church of Corinth, that's a carnal church. Let's focus on this service here this morning, what God has for us. Blessed means to be made happy or prosperous. Extolled, blessed be God, the God of all comfort. You know, I've found that sometimes when people have the best intentions, they can't console me like God can. Amen. You know, there's just something about it. When I pray, He hears me. He understands me. He gets up right beside me and says, son, I know what you're going through. I understand. And you know what? Just the way He says it, I believe it. Something about the way he says it. I believe it. This right here reminds me of something. Also, you know, when we're up on the mountaintop and things are going so well and just seems like everything is going our way, it's just so easy just to float on through life. I had plans. I had aspirations of being the best detective Watauga County had ever seen. I was going to solve every crime. I was going to try to solve every murder. I was going to try to put every bad guy in jail. That was the aspirations that I'd had. Year upon year, that's what I strove for and worked for. You say, Jason, I'm tired of hearing about it. Well, that's my life. That's the best I've got. It's the best life example I have. That's what's real to me. Now, you think about your life example this morning. You probably got aspirations. You've probably got plans. You've probably got dreams of things that you want to happen. But I want you to think about how they line up with God's plan. Seriously think about that. Because I had it all figured out. I had a 30-year plan. I was going to retire. I was going to work part-time, draw my retirement. I had it all planned out. I really did. One day, man, that was gone. That was gone. You know, and when it all struck, when tragedy finally come in and settled in, you really kind of start seeing who your friends are. You know, I'm being serious. You know, some people, they'll come up to you, man, I hate what happened. Man, that bunch, I can't believe they do that to you. And other people just won't even look at you. People that you thought was there for the long haul, people that you worked with side by side, day in, day out, gone. And I thought they was there. After reading that, you know what I got to thinking about? I got to think about Job. And I know we're all familiar with Job, but you think about Job here. Preacher Wynn, if you will, turn to Job chapter number 4. Brother Bill, I ask you if you'll turn to chapter number 18. Brother Ben, will you turn to chapter number 20? Now, this is my friends. This is my church. This is friends in my church. This is people who I depend on. This is people who I call my friends. You know, when I get in trouble, when I get in a bind, yeah, I try to pray, but also I want to talk to somebody too. I want somebody to help me out. Preacher Wynn, what does verses number 7 and 8 say? Is that words of comfort? Or is that somebody just saying, we're trying to figure out what you've done, brother. You've done something. You deserve what you're going through. You've done something. And we just want to know what it is. Brother Bill, will you also read 7 and 8 in verses, or chapter 18? This is my friends I'm coming to asking for help. This is the best they're offering for me. Think about that, Brother Ben. Will you read verses 7, 8 of chapter number 20? Gets worse and worse and worse. I come to these men in my church. I come here for consolation. I come here looking for help. But you know, it just seems like they just don't quite understand. You know, maybe they're not so concerned about me and my problem, but just trying to find out why my problem is why it is. Think about that. You know, and believe me, just like Job, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what my problem may be. You know, a lot of times we need to go to a friend. We don't necessarily need to be told, I told you so. Just point them in the direction where the help's really at. You know, right here, you know, too, right here, Job's wife in 2:9, she even tells him to curse God and die. And Job down 16:2 says, I've heard many such things, and miserable comforters are y'all. I can just do better by myself, I believe. You know, and it's just amazing. When I look at this and I study this out and I got to thinking about that, I know how that feels just a little bit. I didn't suffer like he did. I didn't go through what he went through. But you know, sometimes people get close enough to you just to see what's going on. Just to try to figure out what's happening. Not that you're not doing that yourself. You know, this is one thing that I've thought about. So many times when I've seen somebody else going through it, the back of my mind is that they've done something. They've done something. They're guilty of something. I don't know what it is, but they're deserving of what they're going through. In law enforcement, in different lines of work, and I know everybody has different experiences, but I've seen people come and go for various reasons. But in the back of my mind, I've always felt they were up to something. Until I started reading this. Until I started experiencing things of my own. You know, one thing that I was thinking about too, about how it's such a lonely place to be. When you're going through something, you're looking for somebody else to that can maybe reach out, that can understand what you're going through. Somebody here in this physical life. And I was thinking about this here, and I know this is deer season. And my dad, he likes to text me while he's deer hunting. And I went a couple of days with him last week, and trust me, it's slow. And that's lonely. Because if there's a fella in this county that deserves a nice deer, it's my dad. I'll just be honest with you. He has, in the off season, he goes out, he puts out the corn, he does the scrapes, he checks out the rubs. I mean, he checks it all out, all throughout the year. You can ask my wife. You should see his he calls them deer condos, and that's what they are. They are nice. Padded seats, heat. I mean, it's comfortable. Snacks. I mean, it was like going on a picnic this week. It was amazing to see that. But he sent me a text a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I'm out here, I've done all this work, and I ain't seeing nothing. Nothing. You know, and I got to experience that with him later on last week, and it seems right about dusk. You can tell everything gets calm and gets quiet, and you can hear something, you get to look, and it's a little squirrel eating your deer corn. And then all of a sudden you hear, boom, off in the distance. Boom. Off in the distance. And it was amazing that I got to experience this afterwards, because I could just see Dad's face and in my mind in this week when that same thing happened. I looked over at him and he just went. You know, but the one thing I told him last week, I sent him a text back that said, Dad, I said, if you're close enough to hear the shots, you're still in the battle. You know, if you're sitting at home and you get so frustrated, you say, I just ain't going back. I'm going to quit trying. There ain't no use. Nothing's ever coming my way. I'm just going to stay at home. You definitely won't get one. It definitely won't be there. Unless you're on the road at a certain time at night and you actually get to trip over one. But you know, it's just amazing how lonely of a place that you can find yourself in. And you know, it's just kind of like Job's friends. They thought Job was deserving of what he was going through. Have you ever went through something, or maybe you're going through something now, and you're saying, Lord, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but what did I do? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? Did I do something to deserve what I'm going through? I just don't understand it. Can you help me understand what I'm going through? You know, this is where it really started getting close and hitting home with me. I remember it's been a little over a year ago now, and it's been maybe a couple years or so since we've been coming to church here, and the Lord really started dealing with my heart about preaching. And even before I surrendered, but even more specifically after I surrendered, I kept praying, God, please take me off my path and put me on yours. Take me off my path and put me on yours. I continually prayed that and continually prayed that. And it's almost like I could feel something coming to a head. I could feel it. You know, we can't tell the future, but you know, sometimes you can just kind of feel like something's getting ready to tear loose. And just feel it coming to a head. And you know, almost a year ago to this date, December 1st, I got pulled in the office and said, you no longer work here. And you know, part of me was shocked, but another part of me wasn't. God sees what we can't see. God knows what we don't know. I mean, that was devastating. You know, the first thing I thought about is, Lord, here I am, a brand new preacher, just surrendered to preach. Who's going to have confidence in me now? They're going to be more concerned about what they think I've done versus hearing what I've got to say for you, Lord. Leave me out of it just for you. People aren't going to hear me. They're not going to have any confidence in me. And man, what a year it has been, the different things that we faced. I can't express enough. I mean, it's not that it's been such a horrible year. It's been a blessed year. It's just been an amazing thing to experience. You know, it's easy to sit back and hear somebody talk about it, but to actually be there and see it firsthand, what God can do. And you know, we ain't seen nothing yet. We've seen some little things, but I'm talking about big things. Taking a man and that was providing for his family, kind of, you know, living really for the world. Like I said, I had plans. I wanted things. You know, talking about a carnal life. We need not to think that we don't get carnal. We want things. We see things. This time of year, we see things we want, and we think we can get it cheaper this time of year than any other time. And it makes it that much more desirable. That's the whole scheme of it. That's the whole plan of it. But where's our desire for God? This is also the year or time of the season for Thanksgiving. We should be thankful all the time, but even more thankful right now. Amen. More focused, more dedicated on that. Verse number 4, it says, "Who comforteth us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." If we think, or if we have any hope of helping somebody, we have to know. I'm just going to be honest with you. Preacher Wynn, and I know other people in this church will vouch for me. If you really want to be a help to somebody, you're going to have to accept right now that you're going to go through some things. I'm telling you, this isn't a vain prayer. I'm trying to, you know, some people say ignorance is bliss. Well, maybe it is sometimes, but I want to be honest with you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you start getting fervent with your prayer, you start getting serious with your prayer, watch out. Watch, because things will change. Things will happen. Don't pray amiss. Pray specific and watch. It's amazing to me because, you know, for a lot of my life I'd prayed and prayed and seen things happen and, you know, you think, well, maybe that's coincidence. These things this past year, I can tell you, is not coincidence. I've lived it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. There's a difference. Verse number 5 here, it says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." This verse here, it's amazing when you study God's word how you'll find Jesus in there pretty quick. You know, we thank God and the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about Jesus. You see, he's the one that makes this entire thing even possible. Amen. You see, we can't even get to God without him. We couldn't even pray to God. All those prayers I was just talking about, we can't even get to that point without Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're lost, who's hearing your prayer? Aside from the sinner's prayer, "Lord, save me, a sinner." What hopes do you have? What petitions do you have? I tell you, this morning, just looking back on my life, and me and Brandy have talked about it, we could not have made it. Even if we'd have made it through alive, I don't think our marriage would have made it this past year. That's a stressful thing. Just like talking back there with Job and his wife, and I'm not trying to be hard on Brandy, but I'm telling you, some of these things, they get stressful. They get downright hard to bear. When you got a wife and a child looking at you saying, "What are we going to do?" And you don't have an answer aside from, "We'll just pray about it." You see, there's such a thing as living by faith and then really living by faith and taking God at his word. You know, this one thing here that I got to looking at too down here in verse number 6. It says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual. In the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it was for your consolation and salvation. You know, I never thought that me going through something would benefit anybody here. I never really thought about it that way. Or anybody out in the world. I never looked at it that way. You know, looking at me going through something, I always looked at it as people going to think I was into something I shouldn't have been in. They're going to lose confidence in me, and that's that. I never thought about my life and going through things, how it would affect other people. You know, and when I got to looking at this closer, reading into it, you know, as Christ suffered for us, we also are to suffer. We are also supposed to experience some things. We're supposed to have some restraint. We're supposed to be able to tell the flesh no and stand on that. Not pass it by. Not to say, well, I'm human, I'm going to make mistakes and try to make an excuse, but actually stand on God's promises. This here, you know, when I look at the difference, you know, and here I think about Preacher Wynn. I was preaching this at Antioch, and I thought about Brother Sanford. You know, I don't know what it's like to lose a child. I don't know. And maybe some others here have experienced this. I don't know. And by the grace and mercy of God, I hope I never know. But you know, people who have experienced that can go to somebody and console them. See, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy says, I am so sorry for what you're going through. Empathy says, I know what you are going through. You know, and I got to thinking about this, talking about God's empathy for man. He knows what it's like to have a child die. I never even really thought about it in that sense, and just until I was studying this. You're not going to stump him. You're not going to go to God with something that he don't understand. I mean, anything. He's been there and he's done that. He's experienced that for you and for me. I mean, you know, I can't get over this. I've studied this and I've looked over it, but I just cannot get over how good God is to us. Even when we don't even see it. We don't even see it come. We don't expect it, or we don't see it. Or, you know, I think I spent a lot of my life. I was saved when I was 12 years old. Did you know I've spent so much of my life not even taking the advantage of God's benefits toward me? I mean, it's one thing to be saved, but it's a complete another thing to be surrendered and actually seeking him. You know, going to different churches, I don't know people's lives. It's none of my business to know. But I want to encourage you and urge you to take this serious. You only have one chance at life. Amen. Where you are right now is where you are. Are you where you want to be? Did you know you are as close to God as you want to be right now? No one can empathize like God. Verse number 7, it says, my hope is... Let's see here. I'll read it from right here. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now that's a blessing to me. You know, when you're going through something, if you will hold this true, if you will hold God's word true, and if you will believe it, you know when you're going through this hard time, you can look out in faith and know that joy is coming. That's God's word. You know, I've been through it. I do pretty good as long as I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But when I don't see that light, I get down. I lose all hope sometimes, and I get down. And that's in my flesh. But when I go back to God's word and I read a verse like this and I see, so shall ye be also of the consolation, that's a promise. That's a promise to God's saved people. Right here in verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You see, Paul was just being honest, and that's what I'm trying to be with you this morning, is honest with you. I've faced a few things, nothing like some of what you've faced, but it's all for a reason, and I would not have you ignorant of that. When I learn something, I want to share it with somebody as quick as I can. I enjoy doing that. When I learn something new, I'm like a little kid. I want to say, look what I found. And this is something that I just found recently, and I want to share it with you. Things are going to come, and I would not have you ignorant about that. It says right here, pressed out of measure. That means urged by force or weight. the whole extent or dimensions of a thing. Now you look at that and you think about that in your physical body. You are completely pressed out. The entire extent of it. Everything within you has nothing left. Nothing. If you're here this morning, you're lost. You're there. You're there right now. You have absolutely nothing in you. Everything is pressed out of you. Are you there this morning? I mean, as a saved person, are you already there? Do you feel that way inside? Have you done everything that you think that you can possibly do? Have you given everything that you possibly can give, but yet you feel just like you're completely pressed out, and God, there's nothing I can do? You know, I hear people seriously sobbing when they talk about their loved ones and about how they've been asking for prayer for lost people. We should be pressed out of measure for our lost people. You know, I can't get over that when that message that Brother Joshua preached on hell. You know, it had been a while since I'd heard a direct message just directly on hell, but that's where it's at. And if you're lost, that's where you're going. I mean, that's it. I'm being honest with you this morning. There's no smoke and mirrors. I'm just being honest with you this morning. And when I looked at this here, and I went a little bit further in this, and I looked and to see what happened in Asia, it sparked my attention. What was so bad? And the one thing that I found was a possible reference to Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 41. And I'll just briefly go through that. And Paul had preached against the idols there at in Ephesus. He'd preached against them so much, and people were starting to convert so fast that the coppersmith, the silversmith, the idol makers, they took note of that. They started getting a little bit worried. They started thinking, now, if people start buying into what Paul's preaching, who are we going to sell our idols to? You see, that's exactly where we're at in this world, too. This world would love to have you wrapped up in their plan, their theme, their thing. Get you in debt. Get you where you can't think about nothing else. Get you just completely focused on what they want you to have. You can't live without this thing. You have to have this. You see, that's acceptable. But turning over and giving everything to God, that's not acceptable. The world don't want no part of that. And it's just all over money. It come down to the end here that it's just about the money. Serving God is going to cost you some things. You just have to decide. I mean, really, it's pretty simple. You got to decide what's more important to you. At the end of the day, put it on scale, and you're going to have to decide what's more important. Amen. Serving God, living for God, or trying to hold on to the world. I know this sounds elementary, but I'm telling you, this is where it's at. This is exactly what we have to do. You know, and I'd used this before, but I want to use it again this morning because I think there may be some people here that didn't see this. But actually, let me read something real quick before I go there. Talking about being pressed out of measure. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." There's a lot in that verse. There's hope all in that verse. Just like they were talking the other night, there is hope all in that verse. You know, it's easy to play things off and say, "Well, let's just get on with it." But I want us to slow down and seriously think about what is important today. What matters most to you? What's the most important thing to you right now? Right here, I used this before, but I'll use it again. Look at your hands. And it's been a few weeks since we did this, but look at your hands here today. Look at them. Our hands are a symbol of service. In the Bible, when you read it, you see this. It's a symbol of service. You know, and I talked about this before, about having, you know, calluses on there now that weren't there before. Some different things. And, you know, this is one thing that, this is what grabbed my attention. I forgot to mention this that last time. It's something that my grandmother said to me. And I never really thought about it. And this is sometime back, I just reached out and shook her hand. And she just laughed. She said, "Lord Jason," she said, your hands don't feel like you've worked a day in your life." What do you say to that? I mean, you know, there's really not a comeback for that. You know, and I got to thinking, well, I'm sorry, Grandma. You know, I do a lot of paperwork. I mean, what do you say? What do you say? But, you know, when I really seriously got to thinking about that, it hit home with me about my life, what we're talking about here, about the different things that Paul was talking about, the different trials he'd went through, the different things he'd went through. Don't you think that his physical being probably got calloused along the way? Don't you think that maybe, not that his spirit got calloused, but it grew a little bit. It got a little bit tougher. He wasn't a baby Christian. He wasn't someone that if somebody said something, he probably wasn't easily offended. He probably had enough spiritual wisdom about him that he could just take it and just accept where people are in their life and their journey with God and acceptance and be able to handle things. But you see, Paul never would have been to that point had he not got some of these calluses. Had he not experienced some of these things. And, you know, what I'm talking about here today is so much smaller than what Paul went through. But that's the example Jesus gave for us in his word, for us to follow. And you see, the more Paul went through, and the more God abound, the realer, if that's a word, the realer God got to people. The more people could say, you know what, wow. There must be something about what he's talking about. There must be something real about it, because did you see that beating he just got? I thought he was dead. They drug him out there and left him. I thought he was dead. You know what? He crawled back in here. And he's talking about that same fella. There's got to be something real to that. But what if Paul went out there and said, you know what? Forget it. This hurts too much. It ain't worth it. Forget it. And he just left. Where would his testimony have been? See, that's what the world wants us to do right now. They want us to throw in the towel and give up. They want us to it to be okay to take Jesus out of the schools, take his name out of prayer. They just want it to be okay to not allow him in the prison systems. Just leave him out of everything. It's too much of a fuss. Let's just leave him out. Who's going to stand up for him? God gave us a ministry, preachers, teachers, witnessing, singing, whatever it is. God gave us a ministry. But these calluses here don't. You know, I got to look at my hands too, and there's some things here that was from actual just normal wear and tear. But you know, there's also, I look here, I remember I was opening up a box with a box cutter and it slipped off, and I've got a little scar right here. I put that there myself. You see, God lets us remember some things. He lets us learn some things. Just because somebody went through or goes through things in life, don't count it off just as a disciplinary act. That they done something and write them off. Because this right here, it says it's for your consolation and salvation. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I've thought about my pastor a lot. And I didn't talk about this at the other churches that I remember. I don't believe so, but here at home it's a little bit different. But, you know, when I think about the business and everything, and I'm not trying to bring up anything hurtful, but I'm just being honest. When, you know, to see all these things, you know, it's just like, Lord, why? Why are you doing this to my pastor? He's a good man. Why are you doing this? And you know what was amazing? After all these things that was going through, I lost my job not long after that, and I looked to him. Not just him only, I looked to God. Don't misunderstand me, but I could see it in real live person, like we say. I could see an example of how God moved in somebody else's life. He didn't throw in the towel and quit. He's still here preaching. He didn't let that get him down and just say, you know what, forget it all. He's still here preaching. That's an example to me. And when I see that he come through it, he and his family, and they're still here, that's an encouragement to me. This ain't about, well, you know, is he deserving? Is this that? Is this? No, it ain't about that. And I'll be honest with you, I've about felt guilty, thinking you went through that just to help me. It's my fault. I'm serious. It's amazing how God really works. You know, it's such a blessing to see him move and how we grow and we move through things. You know, I can actually go to somebody now, and you know, times are bad economically and everything. You know, I can actually go to somebody now and say, I do know what it's like to lose a job. You know, but how I respond and react to that is my testimony. Amen. It's not so much what happens as our reaction. That's where our testimony lies within. That's where it's at. And you know, how real is he to you? I was reading over in, I think it's over on in 2 Corinthians, and it was Paul talking having a plainness of speech. And his plainness of speech was attributed to his hope in Jesus. And I got to thinking about, now that is how I want to preach. Plainness, that comes out as bold, having some background to it, you know. And you can't preach like you're supposed to as a preacher unless you've got some hope. And that's what I want you to have here this morning. I want you to have hope in Jesus. I don't want to give you just something generic and something that you know, preacher, I wish you'd just hurry up and shut up so we can get on with the service. I want you to take it to heart because it's real. I've seen it, and it is real. One thing also, and I'd read this before about Thomas over in John chapter 20 and 24 through 28, about looking at Jesus' hands. And how our service will tell on us. Jesus' service. You know, that's one thing that it just amazes me when I read over that and think about that, how Thomas was the only one that wasn't there. He was the only one that wasn't with them. And they were excited about what they had saw. They were so excited. And they're telling him, you know, he's kind of like, well, I won't believe it until I see it myself. You see, you could have that attitude. We could take that attitude and have it. I don't believe what you're saying, preacher, until I see it myself. And that can happen. That can happen. But it goes on to say later on, he did show himself to Thomas, and he was able to see him. And he believed who he was because of the service. Those scars that he had, that was a blessing. That wasn't what did he do. That's he did it all for me. There's a difference. Verse number 9, I'll move on. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And that's one thing that when I looked at that and I thought about that, about how in my life, right coming right up to the end of how everything was going at that time, I had hope within myself. I thought I could pull something out of the hat. I really did. I thought we'll move some things around, we'll make it work. That's not how it happened. We're not in control like we think we are. We're not in control like we hope we are. He's in control. The sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. We, when you look at our lives and you think about what we actually bring to the table, it is so small. It is so small in comparison to what he has and what he can do. And you know, one of the things that, you know, I know that Preacher Wynn's preached a lot of services, and there's been so much preached about revival, and I did not see this till the night at Vilas Valley here in verse number 10. It says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. And I believe right there, honestly, preacher man, I believe the spirit of revival is right there in that verse. Amen. Because not only do we have hope? We can look back. It's not even hope. It's a realization to us at this point. Amen. When you look back and you see what God has done for you, that's real. That's in the bank. You can see it. You can hold on to it. So right now, what you're going through, why don't you have that same hope? Won't we carry that same hope in what you're going through right now and have that same confidence and make it real for somebody else to see? And not only that, it goes on to say that he will yet deliver us. That goes on in the future. That goes on into eternity. That goes on into him coming back and taking us home. You know, it's just amazing. I'll say this here quickly. One thing that I really thought about, and I'll read 1 Peter 4:2. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, with everything going on, and I know it's the holiday season and everything, and you know, there's been all kinds of Christmas movies on. It seems like if you've seen one, you've seen them all, because they start out here at a certain place, and then they have this opportunity to go back in time and be able to change something to make it what it should have been or maybe what it could have been, all that kind of thing. Well, when I read this verse and when I was thinking about that, I honestly got back to thinking about my life. And I got to thinking about when I was about 18 or 19, and I'd talked to Preacher Wynn before about surrendering to preach. I thought maybe this is what God would have me to do. And I never got peace about it. It just did not go that way, and I went on with my life. And about 8 years later, everything come back full circle. That's real to me. That's an amazing thing to experience that. To have everything going one way and to wake up the next morning like they apparently had in these movies, like a Christmas carol. If you think about it, to have an experience to wake up the next day and it's all brand spanking new. And what are you going to do? You know, you don't have to get to the point that it's like that to give it all to God. You can make that choice right here, right now, and go on. You don't have to wait for something drastic to happen. I don't know why people do that sometimes, but that does seem to be the thing that people do. Well, I'll get saved when this happens, or I'll know that I'm lost when this happens. If you're lost and God is convicting you, you know it. I've been under the convicting power of being lost. I know what that's like. And all you got to do is just turn it over to him. It's so simple. It's hard, it seems like, for people. But that's what I have this morning. I just trust and pray that it's been a blessing to you. I just want to be obedient to the Lord. I just want to see his will done. And I want to see his will done here at the church. Each and every one of you means so much to me. I wish I could honestly express it and show you, but only God can do that through the Holy Spirit.